Look at there, look at there. What I need is a guitar that, no matter what you hit it, plays the right key. But I don't know. Me and Kim was practicing the other day, and for you that don't know, that's my bride. She's a Maine woman. She's been with her 42 years. She's something. She is a wonderful lady of God, okay? I'm very blessed. But anyway, the point is, evidently that keyboard we got over there got a button on it we didn't know it had. And when you put that button, it changes the key. So she was playing one key, I was playing another key, and usually it's my fault. Okay. And I said, baby, we're doing it in G. And she said, I know. And I'm sitting there watching her playing G, and I'm like, your keyboard's out of tune. We didn't have to turn. Is there something we can turn to get it to? Anyway, it was an interesting thing. But, it's being me is interesting sometimes. Okay. The book of Job, as my friend used to call it, Job, you know, the book of Job, get your job. Okay, no, it's actually Job. Okay. So, now there was it's Job 1 and 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going back and forth, or back to and fro across the earth and walking back and forth on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have y'all thought about Job lately?
Yes.
I want to tell you something. It's a great story. It's interesting. Okay. There's none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and says to Job, fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around the household, and around all he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and increased in the land. Now, guys, the first point that I want to make tonight, and I'm going to say it about 10 different ways, okay, if I get done. But I want you to understand something tonight before we get started. Romans wears me out. Okay, it's Romans 8:28. It says that all things are working together for our good. And when I was looking at Fanny Crosby, the life of Fanny Crosby, she lived to be 95 years. She could not see. She could not. She was pushed. She was, okay, we won't get into all that. But anyway, she had a hard life. Let's just put it like that. Okay. Think about being blind now would be horrible, but being blind in the 1800s, okay. And then she had to bury her child, okay, after a very short time after the baby was born. But God knows what he's doing. And that's the first point. You might say, I wish I hadn't. How many in here has ever thought, maybe today, I wish I hadn't? Anybody in here? I wish I hadn't. I wish that hadn't happened. I wish this hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't made that decision. I wish my parents hadn't. I was actually wanting my parents to be skinny, tall, good looking, and rich. That was the parents I was looking for, and I didn't, nobody asked me. But I don't know about you, did anybody come to you in the womb or any time prior to that and say, hey, how would you like to be born? White or black? Rich people? Poor people? How would you, did anybody get a choice? It's just like, pop goes the weasel, and there you are, right? And then next thing you get is, right? You get a spanking, you ain't even done nothing yet, all right? Is that right? But, and here's the deal. There are people that I deal with every day. There are people that I know personally and I love that truly believe, there can't be a God because if he did, it would all be fair. It would all be equal. Okay. It was equal. It was 100% equal in the garden. 100%. They was eating grapes and running around naked. Okay. But what happened was, is sin came into this world, didn't it? Because of the choice, and I will always say this, it was Adam and Eve, but if it had been Bruce and Kim, I don't know how long I would have lasted, but I'm just telling you, we make choices that have consequences. Our parents made choices that had consequences. 10 generations back, made, you know, the people that, okay, never mind. I won't get into that. I had a guy, I was in a, I was working, I'll just leave it like that. And a guy come up to me and he looked at my name and he goes, Beelan? I never heard of that. I said, well, yeah, it's my last name. Unless you're in France and it's Beelan. But anyway, so literally, it's he, you know, you can always buy French battle rifles cheap because they've been shot once and thrown down. Anyway, but different joke. I'm mixing metaphors, sorry. Okay, but here's the deal, guys. Watch this. All right, literally, he then says, do you mind if, can I look into your background? He said, that's what I'm a genealogist or whatever they're called. Hope I said that right. Sometimes I say that word wrong. Anyway, is that close? Okay, so, and he looked at, and he presented me with document after document of my family coming from England and been in the Revolutionary War and all of this stuff and found out some of my, found a picture of my great-great-grandfather standing in a picture and my great-grandfather on the other side of the family standing in the same picture. And they were all hauling logs in Bradley County, Arkansas. I mean, it just kept, you know, but those people all made choices. Some of them made some good choices. Some of them didn't. Okay. But here's the deal. Job, in this situation, I love it because I have made a bunch of mistakes and God has blessed me, but I've suffered the consequences of some of those mistakes. Does that make sense? Okay. And in this thing, he's not done anything wrong, but yet God allows, is that what happened? He allows the enemy to come against him, and that is a testimony to, and I'm actually reading the entire book of Job now, the arguments and, okay, too much. But the point being is this, guys, literally, as you look at that, you say, you know what? The first thing it tells me is that God is in control. And it matters what we do tomorrow. Tomorrow's, actually, it's a new day tomorrow. The seed that you plant tomorrow will bear fruit. Is that right? And I've planted some good seed. Praise the Lord. I've planted some not so great seed. Dead gummit. Okay. That's, since we're on film, that's the word I'll use. Okay. Anyway. But here's the deal. And I looked at, I have a problem, because I'm a nerd, okay? And this problem is, I call it going down a rabbit hole. And at one point, I started at the edge of every character. And I don't mean just because so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, I don't mean that, okay? I'm just talking about the major characters of the Bible. And I looked at, every one of them, okay, and what they went through to be who they were. Does anybody else ever gone down that rabbit hole? Because I have a tendency, I'll say, oh, Lord, you know, it just ain't fair. It ain't fair. You know.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you. I thought my mom was here for a minute. Sorry. Okay. So, guys, let's go to Hebrews. Is God in charge?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to Hebrews. And literally, since we know that, since we believe that, since we know it's true, okay, listen to this. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who's already in tomorrow, who loves me, and is all things are working together for my good. And it may, some days are better than others, right? Okay. And it may not be a great day, but I know that it's working together for my good. Skip down to 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel made the choice to do exactly what he had been trained to do. He did the sheep that was slain. God accepted his offering, and then his brother killed him. Okay? Then the police showed up. Okay. Maybe not. I may get that mixed up with that other one. Okay. Okay. Whatever. Literally. But here's the deal. We know that when you read the Bogots, I call them the Bogots, who was the daddy, who, you know, right when you read those, you know the reason they're in there is because the whole Bible is about seed. It's about seed. See, Adam to Jesus, because at the end of that seed is our Redeemer. And I'm redeemed. And that's only the 14th time I've said that tonight. So anyway, but right? And that's the story. And even though he didn't have a long life and build a condo and play with his chihuahua as he got old, he was murdered by his brother. But God had his way in his life, didn't he? Okay. And then verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We're talking about God. Now, this word faith, it's not an emotion, okay? Faith is a verb. Just like love is a verb, okay? We don't usually use it that way. But faith means action. So without action, without faith, without walking the walk, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe 2 things. And I love this. Number one, a lot of people get to first base, okay? And this is first base. They must believe that he is. And I love to talk to people from time to time, literally, guys. And they'll say, well, why do you think there is a God? I say, well, let me ask you a question. If I walked out here in the parking lot and there was a hand-painted painting laying there, would you think that I'd think that somehow that paint just came out of the cosmos and made a picture of a 1986 Harley Davidson Softail, you know, with a guy riding it? I mean, no. Somebody painted it. Dave Mann. Okay, anyway. But no, I'm dead sick. You see what I'm saying? And they say, well, no, you know. No. Listen, this place was put together by an artist. Look at the flower. Look at how your eyes work. Look how your ears work. Look, it's amazing. Okay? So he is. Everybody get that? God is. And you might not like what he does sometimes. And hey, but guess what? We're not in charge. The second thing is that he is a rewarder for those of us who diligently seek him. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen it over and over and over in my, you know, I'm almost 35 now, okay? Full disclosure. In Bobcat years. Okay. But anyway, but the bottom line is this, guys, all joking aside, literally, he is God. And I have seen in my life, I've seen in the lives around me, as we plant those seeds of rightness, not our righteousness, because our righteousness is paid for by him, okay? Paul, my hero, literally, guys, not counting Jesus, of course, but Paul is my hero. And he is in the middle of building tents as a part-time job while he's getting about writing the Bible. He goes, then gets put in prison. And he's right. I mean, I love this guy. I mean, he's 100% gangster. You know what I'm saying? And here's the deal. I love him. And in the middle of that, okay, he is saying, you know what? All glory to God. And here's Paul He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. I screw it up. That's not the King James, but you know what I'm saying. The things I really want to do, because I would really like to be a nicer guy. And sometimes I'm pretty good while nobody's watching. Okay, but most of the, anyway, but, or while everybody's watching, maybe. Anyway, but the things I don't want to do, I do. I mean, he literally says those words while he's writing the New Testament through the unction of the Holy Spirit, while he's in jail, while that's going on. And here's the deal. Literally, God knows what he's doing. He put Paul, and I want to tell you something, Paul was hard-headed. Remember, he was going to wipe the whole church out. If you left him, if God left him alone, he, I don't know. Who knows what happened? Okay. So Noah's got this message, hey, it's going to rain. And everybody says, what's rain? It's never rained on the earth before. His message was, that, nah, it ain't going to happen, you know, whatever, right? But nobody ever listened to his message. Abraham waited, struggled, moved, lied, did all kind of stuff, right? Great guy. I love him to death. I can't wait to see him, okay? David, King David, struggled. Was discounted. All my boys are here. And he was out there and they didn't even bring him in until the prophet said, you got to have another boy because God said it's one of your boys and none of these is him. Right? And literally, guys, as you look at this over and over, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph, the story of Joseph was probably one of the first deep dives I did. I was overseas for a year and had a lot of time. And, the point being, I was, slow down. It's not that big of a deal. Okay. So, anyway, literally, guys, Joseph, think about it. He has this dream and then he ends up getting sold into slavery for nothing he's done. He ends up then get put in jail for nothing he's done, for doing the right thing, right? And is there for years. It looks like it's about a 14-year period from the time of the dream to the fulfillment of that, from about 16 to about 30, okay? And here's the deal, guys. Does that irritate anybody else when that kind of stuff happens to you? It's like, what? I'm doing the best I can here. But guess what? It's working together for your good. Now, another one of my friends, he's dead right now, okay, is Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, which is great. We had his day the other day, and I've read stuff he's written. I love it, okay? But Martin Luther literally wrote these words, all things are working together for the good of those that are called according to his service. He was quoting Romans, right? But then what does he say? Which he has some guts to say this in the church of that day, because he's talking about grace. He says, even our sin. And it made a bunch of people mad back then, and it makes people mad now to think, yeah, you're going to get, God's going to get you for that. Well, you know, if we make a big mousetrap, stick our head in there and go for the cheese, it'll probably poke our little head, you know, it'll probably hurt a little bit. Go ahead. It was all about the reason Martin Luther, what the data says, I like to use that word, is that the reason that he did what he did was what pushed him over the edge was the commercials, the little jingles they were singing about, if you give this amount of money, we can get your loved ones out of hell, or out of purgatory, which is a different place, I guess. I've never been to either. Okay. But anyway, so here's the deal, guys. Wherever you're at tonight, I want you to quit spending your life looking in the rearview mirror. There's a reason that my truck, I'm driving my mom's old car right now, But that car's got a rear view mirror. It's important. Sometimes when I back up, I even look in it. Sometimes I just go back and it starts making racket. Okay. But that's more expensive. But the point is, it's got a small rear view mirror, and it's got a little one on this side and a little one on this side. But can you imagine, Little Rock is about 214 miles from here, okay? So can you imagine me pulling out of the parking lot saying, I'm going to Little Rock tonight. They got a chicken place down there. I really want to eat it, okay? And I back up and I start going backwards, okay? And I'm just going backwards and just looking at that rear view. How much do you think I'd tear up between here and Little Rock? And as curvy as them roads are and as tricky as that gets. But instead, what we do is turn around and look through the windshield, which is huge compared to looking back, okay? And forgetting those things that are behind us is what the Bible says. Forgetting those things that are behind us. And here's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I went in there and I prayed. After I walked in, I said, Lord, get me out of the way. And what he spoke to me, right then and there, he said, if you're willing to let go of everything from the past, then can I do something with you?
Come on.
And I tell you what, here I am today.
There you are, brother. No, yeah. Come on. Come on. That's a real life example of what I'm saying. I mean, praise the Lord. And here's the deal, guys. I'm going to throw one more point in here. It's going to take about 2 hours and 45 minutes. But anyway, 16 jokes and 3 slideshows. Anyway, but the point being, all joking aside, kind of. Okay, one more thing. This is what's interesting to me that God has shown me in the last few years. So, what happens is we have desires. I'm not talking about weird desires. I'm not talking about flesh stuff. I'm talking about God gives us things that we desire. We got, you know, things that you want as a human. But here's the deal. And we also have a picture that has been painted by society or by what you know in the past and what that's going to look like. And guys, I got news for you. I've been following the Lord a long time, very imperfectly, imperfectly. That's a good word. But here's the deal. It looks nothing like I thought it was going to look. Nothing. I mean, the chances of me even being geographically in this location is 100% gone. 100% gone. The fact that I'm pastor of the church that I've been pastor for 22 years, that's 100% God. There was nothing, it doesn't look anything like I thought it was going to look. But guess what? God has been, it's what, I wouldn't want to be on any other path. But so let's quit holding up this TikTok version of what your life's supposed to look like. Because, you know, if you use the right filter, I would just be beautiful. Sorry. Yeah. Or Instagram or Facebook or any of them other places. Okay. And I'm on Facebook right now. I love Facebook. Okay. Because if it wasn't for Facebook, literally, some folk. Okay, never mind. Okay. Anyway. But I do need to work on that filter because I'm looking older. I got the young cool filter on there, but it doesn't seem to be working that good. Okay. Anyway. But guys, listen to me. You might be saying, but yeah, I wanted this, but I wanted this. Listen, all things are working together for your good, even those mistakes you made. God can even take those and make them work out for your good and good for his kingdom. I'm going to tell you something. I come from a very prideful background, generationally, okay, and God dealt with my pride, okay? I was like literally in the middle of that. I walked out on the back porch of somewhere, and I said, God, just think about how arrogant this is, what I said. God, I wouldn't do to my kid what you're doing to me. I wouldn't allow if I could, because, you know, I want to be comfortable. Anybody else want to be comfortable? I want everything to, you know, everything to fit, you know, especially, you know, if you got a little slight control problem, you know, slight control problem, just a little bit around the edges. You know, I want everything to fit. I want everything. But you know what? Guess what? Sometimes it don't. And Paul is dealing with problems in the church. And when you read those, you think, oh, does that mean, you know, no, what that means is he's dealing with a real problem right there in the church. Okay. There's always been problems in the church. You say, yeah, but you know, I went to church and they hurt me. Well, guess what? I got the best dentist in the world right over here. And every once in a while, he has to grind a little bit in there. I tried to work it out where I could just go in there and like read the magazines and my teeth would be okay. But I guess there's something about brushing them and flossing and getting regular dental check, you know what I'm saying? And then having to pay the bill and all this investment. Why can't I just, he's a dentist. Why can't I just sit in there and, you know, God's kind of like that. You might have to do a little flossing every once in a while, okay? God might need a little something. So I want us to do something tonight that I do regularly. And I'm not going to preach a long sermon about it, but I want us to do a couple of things that I do. And if you don't want to do them with me, it's okay. For the first few hundred years of the Christian church, I'm talking about not the independent Christian church or the whatever Christian church, I'm talking about the church. One of the high points in the service was communion. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you proclaim Christ, I would like to share communion with you tonight. Okay? And then we're going to have a prayer time after that. And God's going to meet some needs according to his riches and glory tonight. Okay? So I'm going to get this. Why don't you bring me one of those and then pass the sack around? And there's no requirement for this, by the way. You can still leave after it's over, even if you don't take communion. Okay. Thank you, buddy. So pass that around for me. And see if I can get this to fit back in here. It works. I just don't work that well. So, can you move a little faster? How many of you guys have done the very best you can to be the best you can? Anybody else ever done that and then felt like you just failed?
Amen. Come on.
So this, before we take this tonight, I want you to hold this in your hand for a second. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. What I'm asking you to surrender when I sing that song is the guilt and the shame that comes from our failures. He healed us from guilt and shame.
by the beating that he took, by his stripes, we are healed. So I want you to do this with me. If you'll turn the small side up and tear the part off where the bread is, just hold it in your hand for a minute with me. Father, we celebrate, you said when we meet, to celebrate the fact, God, that you paid the price for me. You paid the price in spite of me, in spite of my sin. And Father, I don't have to be ashamed tonight. Lord, you said come boldly to the throne. And Lord, we come boldly to the throne tonight to celebrate the fact that telestai, my sin has been paid. And Lord, my healing has been paid for. My mental acuity has been paid for, Lord. My finances are taken care of, God. You are the God who is enough. And we celebrate that tonight. So break that in your hand, knowing that he paid the price, and let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Turn that over and peel off the juice side. And Father, your word is very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. We're doomed until you came on the scene. You paid the price. Father, just like Abraham, when he made covenant with you, Lord, and he's standing there with a knife in his hand, he's about to be obedient to you and sacrifice his only son. You made a sacrifice. Father, what you did is you provided a substitute. He looked, you said, stop, and he looked, and there was a lamb with it hung. It was hung there. It was waiting on him, just like Jesus, Lord, paid the price for my sin. And we celebrate that tonight together, Lord, and just say, it's been finished. It's paid for. Let's drink together, guys. Okay, before we go into the altar time, I'm going to go off here. God bless you, keep you, let his light shine on you, and give you peace.